Shop all things Cherry Johnson at therealcherry.com.
Welcome to Cherry's World.
The only podcast coming through your beat stereo is Cherry's World, so let's go around like a merry-go. Plug your phone in, make sure it got a full battery. Download it Wednesday, listen to it Saturday. She cover all topics, whatever you after. She got ball players, authors, doctors, actors, rappers, singers, entrepreneurs, divas, leaders. Androids or Apple, turn up your speakers. Trying to shoot my shot like the vaccine. Whether it's Cherry or Maxine, whether the podcast or acting, she that queen. PYT, you know what that mean. So you on TV and touch the screen, touch on you. I plead Lucy's got a crush on you. It'll mean the world to get a blush from you. Teaspoon to me, leave you sleep like Robitussin do.
At least once a day, every time I leave the house, some funny motherfucker gonna ask me, where's Waldo? So this is for all you funny motherfuckers. Without further ado, I have Mr. Sean Harrison on the show with us this week. Welcome to Cherry's World, baby. Thank you for being here.
Would you like to advertise on Cherry's World and have your product placed on Cherry's social media for the world to see? Email us now at cherrysworldpodcast@gmail.com for low introductory rates. Cherry's World Podcast. Get heard.
Welcome to Cherry's World. Courtney, I got a treat for you. Are you ready for this one?
All right, what you got? What you got?
We just got a caller that I think you are going to be excited about. Okay, seriously, when we want to talk about my loves of all loves, I call him my diary. The world knows him as Sean Harrison. For those lame brains who don't read the credits, I hate to say this, but he played Waldo, Waldo on Family Matters. Sean! Go ahead, Courtney. I'll let you take the reins. Go ahead, Dave.
So when I first interviewed Cherry for other podcasts, and the last question I asked her, I said, okay, last episode that I remember you being on, you were dealing with Dopo. You think that Maxine and Waldo will still be together? So she did tell me that she thought that y'all would still be together. I didn't think so, but that was about the only question I had about with Family Matters and stuff.
We're gonna go deeper into this because I want to hear your explanation, your reasons for thinking that they wouldn't have stood the test of time.
I mean, your girl was messing with dope boys, man. She ain't your girl.
But that's when he left me, like he had moved away.
Yes.
I only started dating other people when Waldo wasn't around.
Yeah, but Waldo was so trying to better himself.
See, he's hating on our love.
Yeah, I don't think you understand how real that was. And so you don't seem to understand that it's one of those things, like if I had come back or had she come to where I was, that I think that it would have rekindled everything and everything else would have fallen by the wayside.
So you would have forgave me.
Forgave her for what?
Dealing with dope boys. She was running past.
Oh my God.
Hey, I'll never forget that, man. I'm like, Waldo trying to be better himself and she running packs with dope boys and stuff. Come on now.
I didn't know what I was doing.
Look, this is everything was about growth. How about that? How about you can better yourself even if you're going through a problematic experience, because that's teaching you right from wrong. And I think that realistically, when we think about these characters, there was something I think very sweet and precious. Hate to use that term, but that's the only thing that comes to mind right now about Maxine and Waldo. So I think that it's one of those type of romances that would always somehow, some way stand the test of time. So I know that you're being tongue in cheek, but kind of literal about the Doughboy thing. But I think that it would be the kind of thing with between the two of them that it could be played off. Because if you remember, Waldo had this jealous streak. So it would be kind of funny to see him try to get himself in one of those types of situations and have to have his boys, Urkel and Eddie, come rescue him because he's trying to defend the honor of his woman with these Doughboys. I think it'd be great.
See, thank you. I just want you to know It's been a 7-month debate between us, whether you and I would still be together. And I told him, of course, true love is true love, man. Can't nothing come in between.
It is.
My man's still sticking up for me 20-something years later. You hear that, people? Sean.
So, yes.
Can we talk just, I mean, briefly. Sean and I have known each other since, I think I was like 8 years old. He appeared on...
No, like, I don't think you were that young. Where did you thought you weren't that young when I was on Punky Brewster? I have no idea. I never... It was... Somebody told me the year. I think someone said it was 87?
That was 85, but I don't know.
You think it was 85?
I thought so.
Okay, so maybe I was 10.
Yeah,
I was around 10 years old is when we met. Then we rekindled again your first day at Family Matters. Can you tell them what it was like with you and I back together again?
Okay, so here's... Well, I don't know if anyone or if everyone knows. Okay, so what Cherry is talking about is that I had a guest appearance on Punky Brewster way back in the day, and I played this really... annoying character named Franco Granoli, and I was smitten with Cherry, and she could not stand me. And so this episode was so much fun because I come over with some flowers that I picked up from the cemetery, and I'm there to tell her how much I love her and how I don't want her to go to camp. And she throws me out, her and Punky throw me out of the door, and I follow her to camp. Now, she's going to an all-girls camp, but I'm at the boys' camp that's across the lake or whatever. And so there were rituals that went on between the boys and the girls. And so one of the rituals was you ran through, I think the cabin, and you like snatched an item from the person that you wanted to meet later on at the Kissing Rock. And so for me, that was Cherry. So I get my item, and then later on we meet at the Kissing Rock. And I believe I have a mask on because I don't want her to know it's me, but I'm just trying to get this kiss. And then finally she realizes that it's me. And so she breaks my heart. So anyway, it was such a great episode, a fun episode. Like, we all got along, everybody, that week. It was a good time. And we didn't see each other for a couple of years. But when I appeared on, I think it was the Do the Urkel episode. So we both ended up on the Do the Urkel episode together. So when you do a sitcom, it's a 5-day schedule. And the very first thing that you do on day one is called a table read. So a table read is when everybody, all of the cast that's there for the week, regulars, guest cast, and then the writer producers, and then you might have a couple of people there from representing the network that the show is on and the studio that's involved with the show. And they all get into a room sometimes, or sometimes it's done on a set, and you just read through the script. And so it gives the writer producers an idea of what the time of the show is going to be, what beats are working, which beats are not working that need a little work, stuff like that. Okay, so you, as an actor, you're supposed to arrive a little bit early. You're not supposed to arrive on time. And so I'm making my way to the stage door, and Cherry just so happened to be coming out of the door. I mean, it wasn't even 2 seconds. She sees me and she throws her arms out really wide. Sean, oh my God. And she runs over to me, and then we hug each other, we embrace, and then we catch up for a couple of minutes before we go into the table read. And fortunately for us, because we weren't, I think, slated to have a relationship at that time as our characters progressed on the show,
right,
they found it interesting, I think, to just try to see if there could be something there. And they liked the chemistry that we had. And as you know, that became, I think, sort of an essential part of the Family Matters lore, which is Maxine and Waldo's relationship. So,
can I ask a question about, I want to stick with your first role on Punky Brewster, because do you think that basically you were the Urkel character before Urkel or Screech on Saved by the Bell? Like, you were first.
Absolutely.
Well, I'm not going to go that far with it. I think that is a familiar comedic trope on a television show, which is a really nerdy male character, especially during those times, like late 80s into the early 90s, a really nerdy male character. And he puts a lot of energy into trying to get her attention. There are different schemes and things like that are employed. So I can't take credit. Well, I don't think Punky Brewster can take credit for crafting that trope. I think it's just a familiar one. And unfortunately, it's not as if they tried to mine that particular relationship on Punky Brewster, like it was a one and done. But if you go back and watch the episode, it's quite funny. It's quite hilarious. And then to see us end up on a different show doing something just as funny, probably a little bit better, I think is also a great part of our story together.
It is. It is the it's the foundation of like true love and friendship, and how friendship can definitely stand the test of time. You know,
yeah, especially in this business.
Yeah, there's not a day that I haven't walked outside that I don't hear "Where's Waldo?" And there was a stint where everybody would be like, "Where's Waldo?" And they think they're being funny, and I'm like, "Oh, you mean Wolverine?"
And look, you get that wrong every single time. It was Timberwolf that I did the voice for, man. Not Wolverine.
Okay.
See? See, look.
Okay, well, yeah, I did get that wrong, and I was a smart ass. No wonder why people was looking at me crazy, like,
"Yeah, they're like, is she talking about you? What is his name? Hugh Jackman? Like, I don't know what this is, where this is coming from." Yeah, different character people. So don't listen to Cherry. I voiced a character on a CW show, and the character's name was Timberwolf. But for whatever the reason, just because, as we know, Wolverine is a very popular character, she always references it as Wolverine, and I always have to say, no, it's Timberwolf.
Nice.
I don't know why. See, that shows you maybe there is a little bit of Maxine and Cherry. She's a little airheaded, but I'll own it. You know, people ask me, Sean, all the time about like, what was it like working on Family Matters? And when I say, I don't know, they're like, what do you mean? I don't know. And I say, well, okay, so I'm a little different. I had a free phone. I had, you know, food. And Sean was next to me, and we partied before the show. I know that. Like, I never watched him. Yeah. Can you explain to them how I just kind of, like, I don't know, separated life from work, maybe?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how I can describe it to people, but what I will say, I'll make it a little more general before I see if I can make it specific to you, is what people don't seem to understand when they talk to us or any actor that's a part of, say, a sitcom in particular. But I think that this actually makes sense for other productions. But when you're on a sitcom and you see people regularly, and you know that you're going to be seeing them regularly, and that's pretty much the situation that we found ourselves in, you really do think of it just as a job. And that's not what people who don't act or aren't in the business don't seem to understand. So they're expecting for us to, I think, to share fun stories and anecdotes about how we're doing this and how we're mesmerized by that. And we're like, no, it's a job. So on day one, I'm told to show up at this time. When I show up at that time, I'm just thinking, when can I clock out? I'm ready to go home. And then day two, day three, day four, day five, it's the same sort of process for us. Now, we do have fun in between there, but a lot of times, and I'll say this is for the entire cast of Family Matters. Again, this doesn't apply to other productions. For the kids, not the adults on the show, but for the kids, as much as we love each other, as much as we love to be in each other's presence, our entire goal, when we got to work was getting clocked out so that we could go home. Like, we all just want to be like, when are we leaving? When are we leaving? When are we? Because again, it was just something that we did. It was almost like a hobby. It's kind of like, okay, I'm here to do my hobby, and then I get to go live my real life. So with Cherry, what she's talking about is the reason why she's like people, I think, might be a little confused when she's answering the question, because they probably think it's a very straightforward question. Is, as she said, she had a phone. So Cherry had, we had dressing rooms. Okay, you had a dressing room or a trailer when you work for the most part, and Cherry would stay in her dressing room, and because we were on a studio lot, it had a phone where she could call pretty much anywhere. And that's what she did. So if she wasn't calling somebody, somebody was calling her. And then they would come, the ADs, they come knock on the door when it's time for you to come to set, for you to do rehearsal, or if you have to film or anything like that. And so you can just do whatever you want with your free time until that happens. And so that would be Cherry. She would just be locked in her, well, not locked, but she would be in her room. So much so, now this is what I can't add. Things would happen, which would be sort of on the gossip tip for you guys, but just commonplace for us, just happening at a workplace. And Cherry would be oblivious to what was going on. And so on a couple of occasions, I would have to come knock on the door, and she'd be like, "Come in." And I'd be, "Did you hear?" And she'd be like, "What are you talking about?" I was like, "Ah." And I would look. Okay, so one other thing, when you work on a studio, you have a TV that they have in your room too. And that TV is tuned into a frequency that gives you a feed of what's going on in the cameras as we're blocking or taping and stuff like that. And so When you have the TV on, if you didn't turn, if you didn't dial it to the regular stations, you would then get the in stage feed. And so things would happen, as I said, where I would think, oh, she's watching the feed, so she knows. And she would be oblivious because she's either in there on the phone or she's got company and they just run in their mouth. And then I'd be like, Sherry, how do you not know this? And so I'd have to break it down to her. She'd be like, oh my God, what? And then you leave out of the room and Sherry would just go back to like, I don't care.
Well, let me explain. Long distance used to cost. I'm from the East Coast.
Yeah.
And then remember those days?
Mm-hmm. These were my teen years. So, you know, I was trying to date and stuff. And maybe guys who couldn't come up in the house and just kick it, they could come up in the dressing room. Oh, wow.
You
know?
You take me back, man. Wow.
So, no, for real. So when she says to you guys she really went to work just to get access to her free phone, Cherry really means that. That's how she spent her time on set.
I was on the phone, I was chilling, I was eating for free, I was hanging out, I was trying to plan my outfit, you know what I'm saying, to go to the club later.
That's crazy.
Now, the rest of us were busting our ass, like, let me learn these lines, I want to make sure I don't get no lines cut, I got to remember my blocking. Cherry was so relaxed, like, she just didn't care, she just showed up, she did what she had to do. We're like, we can't stand you.
This was my take, okay, so I always pretty much knew my lines, I didn't mess up too much, unless right. I was... And I usually was laughing at Sean, but whether I had 30 lines or five, my paycheck was the same at the end of the day. So if you cut a line, I don't care. It might mean I get to go home earlier.
Oh. Yep. Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
So, but we did have some rituals. Sean, do you want to share our pre-show ritual with them?
Yeah. So, okay. We do, when she says pre-show, meaning we had a live taping in front of a studio audience. And so what would happen is on this particular day, which was Fridays for us, we would come in, we would do a little pre-blocking of what we had rehearsed the day before, and then we would do a producer network run through with the cameras. Then we would go to lunch or dinner. I think they would call that dinner for us. Then we'd go for lunch, dinner, for like an hour, hour and a half. And then we'd have to do what we call like final looks, is to get ready for whatever our first scene was in the episode that we were getting ready to tape. And so what I would always do is probably around 10, 15 minutes before I knew that they were going to be letting us know that we had to do our final looks, whatever, I would hit play on Doo-Doo Brown, blast the music, and we would turn up for the entirety of that song.
I said, don't stop, get it.
Oh. So that would be our thing. That became our ritual before shows, just to get the energy pumping, get you hyped up, just ready to go out there and execute for the show. So yeah, that was one of our very memorable rituals.
That'll explain to some of you why sometimes my hair was a bit thick and wilder than...
Oh, she's going to put that on me now. Okay. Then I'll sweat her hair out. Okay.
I was talking.
No, she was. She was.
Yeah, crazy.
Okay, hey, enough about family matters. I have turned on the TV as of recently, and your niece will start screaming, Uncle Sean, man, you're doing like every commercial. Right. Oh.
Stop it. I wish I was doing every commercial. What commercial has she seen me on out there? What you talking about? Because I ain't seen myself on the dang TV.
Well, she sees you on the internet too, but she saw you on the Dairy Creamer commercial. And she also saw you on another commercial with some little girl that was sitting on the couch with you, and she was mad that it wasn't her.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So you're talking about that. Yeah. Oh, okay. So, yes, I've done a few commercials the last couple of years. That's really where most of my stuff in the industry has been for the last several years. And some of the stuff has been fun, in particular, the one that you just talked about, which was the Creamer commercial, is the International Delight. I did an ad for the Reese's Peanut Butter Cup flavor. And that was a fun little situation because it was supposed to be me and a coworker, and I was in my cubicle and I was talking to him and he was hidden behind the cubicle. And then he peeks his head up midway through the ad. And then we did a bunch of different takes where he climbed over the cubicle trying to get the creamer from me. So that was a great experience doing that particular commercial.
That's what is your focus nowadays, Sean? What is it that you really like? If you could do anything you wanted to do, what would you be doing?
Oh, you know, I feel like people ask that question all of the time. It's such a strange question. Well, I would say that there's two things.
I don't necessarily.
No, you know.
I mean, in life.
You don't mean what? In life, okay.
Yeah, I don't necessarily mean acting.
Okay. That makes it even more interesting of a question and even more challenging. So I think I'll hit the acting thing first.
Okay.
I would say that I have two focuses. Whether I'm living them out or not, people, just know that these are my focuses. This is what I aspire to get to at some point. So the very first thing is I really do enjoy doing sitcom work. So I am prayerful that at some point my face will start to pop up here and there again, much like it did earlier in my career. So that's focus number one. And then focus number two is something that I just feel like it would be a disservice to me if I cannot deliver on this particular thing before I get out of this industry. I want to sell a sitcom to some entity. And I don't want it to be a one and done, meaning like a pilot, and then it's tossed away like I want to sell it. I want it to be developed, produced, and get at least a couple of seasons, hopefully more than that, out there. So those are my major focuses. And then other things that I would like to do is the older that we get, and this is something that you do, so I've learned a little bit from you, is just being a lot more hands-on behind the scenes. So really taking the bull by the horns and embracing producing, writing if necessary, maybe directing. So I want to become more involved in content creation is really what I'll just leave it at that. So whatever the medium may be. So it may be for the internet, it may be for TV, it may be for film, maybe for something else entirely different. That's really what I want to do. And then outside of the business, I don't know. I don't know if I have any real things or focus that I see myself working towards as far as life go. I'm lying. Two, they're one and the same actually, but it's either one or the other. Because I got my bachelor's degree in psychology, and I pretty much had expected that I would become a psychologist at some point, but then after I graduated, I steered clear of that. Now that I'm at the age that I am very much interested in sort of delving back into that. So whether it's to go get a certification, become a life coach, or going back to school to either get my master's or my PsyD for psychology so that I can get my hands officially in that arena, I think is something that is always sort of tucked away in the back of my mind, because it's something that I, on a personal level, that I kind of do with people anyway.
Yes.
And to do is sort of counsel them, listen, help them, hopefully help them make wiser decisions, allowing people to vent. Like, I have a gifting for stuff that centers around that. So that's probably, I would say, the one life goal that outside of the business is something I'd like to channel my energy into.
So you're going to start charging me is basically what you're saying.
I'm going to give you a discounted rate, though.
Thank you. I'm going to pay welcome. You, too, because I need your services. Let's face it. My life, Sean laughs all the time because he says that kind of stuff only happens in your life, Cherry. Not.
Now, you know, that's one of my favorite go-to lines. What people don't know until you actually, like, have spent time with them is anytime Cherry tells you a story or anytime Darius tells you a story, believe it. Oh. It sounds outlandish. It sounds ridiculous. But when you spend time with them, you realize, no, this crap really actually happened. So, yeah, I tell Cherry all of the time when she's sharing stories with me, I'll be like, that only happens to you. That literally only happens to you.
I've heard some good stories too from her, too.
Oh, no, she's always got a good story.
Yeah.
All I have to do is walk outside. I swear to God, it's an adventure. Sean, I've heard that Punky's coming back, and I don't have a lot of, you know, news or input or anything, but
okay.
If they called for Granoli to come back, would you be open?
I would be more than excited and open to that opportunity, because I think that it would be hysterical for us to still be at odds with one another. Well, me still to be chasing you and you still to be putting me off later in life as characters. I think that it would be absolutely hysterical. So no, I think that you need to put in a word when you go back to work. I know you don't have the official word just yet, but I'm just assuming it's a done deal. Congratulations, by the way. That you're like, you know what? I want my boo to come on over here and at least get one guest spot in, because I think that we can have a good time.
I know that we could. I'm waiting for my official word too.
See, I could believe Cherry and Granoli could be together before I can believe Waldo and Maxine could be together.
For real, you just gonna go back to that, Courtney? Huh? Okay.
I'm telling you, 7 months, me and Courtney been at it. And I was like, you know, this is my level of all love. That's my lollipop. Like,
hey, man, you know what? You're a talented old brother, though, man. I just remember you dancing.
Oh, I appreciate that.
Performing on the show, too. Mm-hmm. Did you, like, take up dance or something? I didn't mean to cut you off, Cherry, but I just wanted to get that out there.
That's pretty funny that you would say that. Because when I was on the show, it was late teens into early 20s, and you think like I picked that up like way late in life. That's hilarious. Nah. So quick backstory, I will keep this quick because I can be long-winded. I got into the business when I was 4 years old, to act, because I told my mom, I looked at TV, I was like, I think I want to do that, and I just have that parent that was kind of like, okay, and tried to find some avenues to get me in it, and she got me involved. So once I got my foot in the door, if you will, in the industry. You start, as a kid, you start taking classes. And one of the first secondary skills, I guess, that I tried to acquire, at least my mom tried to get me acquired, was dance. So I started tap dancing when I was five years old. So I started tap dancing at five. I think I started doing other forms of dance, like jazz, probably around the age of 9 or 10. And I studied from like five until I was about 13, until about junior high. And then I didn't necessarily have as much time, but because I had done it for such a long time, it's one of those gifts that it never really leaves you. So when the show came around, when I was on the show, they didn't know that I could dance, but we were doing this ridiculous episode. I know people like, we did a couple of topical issues, covered a couple of topical issues on Family Matters, but some of them we did not like. So one in particular, we did this one about gun violence, and it was so ridiculous that all we could do was laugh in between takes, sometimes during takes. Like, they got mad at us because we couldn't get through some of these scenes because we thought that they were so terrible. So I'm sorry to all of the fans out there that actually liked that particular episode where Laura tries to, well, she goes by the gun and stuff, but we on the show, we thought it was so corny. It was a hard week to get through. Entertaining for us because we laughed, but it was a hard week to get through. Anyway, on that particular episode, I was off to the side in between takes doing something, and I started doing like a soft shoe dance. One of the producers, and I can't remember if it was Dave or if it was Gary. It was Dave or Gary. One of them came over to me. It might have been Gary, because Gary was a dancer, and he was kind of like, Sean, do you know how to tap dance for real? And so I gave him that look like, are you serious right now? And I was like, yeah. And he gave me a sort of suspicious response kind of glance. And I was like, okay. So then I did a typical tap move that anybody who knows tap dancing knows. And he was kind of like, oh no. He's like, no, you really know how to dance. I was like, yeah, I just said that to you. So that's how they got the idea to do the episode that's called, I think it's Twinkle Toes Faldo. That's where that came from. Yeah. Now that came, I think, like, I don't know, like maybe in season 6 or some crap like that. Now, prior to that, when the most iconic, I guess, dance scene that I ever did was the one where I went on the date with Laura. I always see people always tag me in that or send that to me for some odd reason. That just came about because they just wrote that into the script. Because, you know, when you do a sitcom, you want your characters, especially a sitcom during that time on a show that's about physical comedy, you want to put your characters in situations where they can be ridiculous and they can mind the physicality of the comedy. They had no clue that I could move like I did. They just wrote in there that Waldo like dances or something. And then I came up with whatever. I have no clue what the hell I did. I just know that I had a certain amount of time. I did a little something, a little impromptu thing. Then after that, I sort of memorized what I did, because you got to be able to do the same thing time and again, just in case they have to, you know, break away from other cuts and stuff like that. And that's how that particular thing came about, where, again, that's another iconic.
Wait a minute. You went on a date with Laura?
Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. You did. Sure did.
And what? I'm just now finding out you went out with my best friend.
And the bad thing about it is I don't remember anything else about the that freaking episode, because like most of that stuff has been erased from my memory. Please tell me.
Yeah, basically they felt bad for you. So they and Steve was very upset about this too. So because he couldn't get a date with Laura for nothing. So, but because she felt bad for you, she decided to go out on a date with you to prove that you weren't that bad of a person. And that's basically how it went.
Was this before me, after me, or during me?
No, this was before.
Right.
This was before. I think this was because I went on Hulu the other day looking for the episode when we got hooked up for our date. I think our date episode was season 4. The Laura date episode, I believe, was season 3. And it was pretty much just half the episode, I think. And then it was over with. Like, you can tell us, Courtney, like, how did it end? I mean, because I know that we didn't get together. But did she finally just be like, boy, you're not my type? Like, I don't even know how I got.
As far as I remember, right after the dance thing, that was pretty much it. After that, she put up with a lot. But then after that dance thing, that was pretty much it. And Steve was doing a lot of cock blocking throughout the whole episode. So,
okay.
Yeah.
But see, now that's sad that I don't remember that.
Yeah.
I don't remember that episode at all outside of that dance routine on the date.
Funny as hell. I remember. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. That's hilarious. I didn't even know you dated my best friend, but whatever. I'm not going to be bitter. Years and years later.
Mm-hmm. Dated dope boy.
Well, it's her fault because she accepted a pity date with me. So I think you need to have words with her. What I think.
I'ma do that. I'm definitely going to
And I'm gonna be honest with you. You said y'all still recording. You can put this on your, I don't give a damn about this. But I had a big ass bump in my beard line right now. So I think I have like 2 or 3 ingrown hairs. So I'm gonna have to trim my beard off and go to a goatee so that I can get to the skin level and try to pull them damn hairs out. It's so irritating because, you know, I've been sporting my beard for so long that I hate having to go through that regrowth process.
Can you just like pluck around it so you don't have to take the whole thing off?
Well, here's the thing. My facial hair is very thick and it's also coarse. So when I first started, like when you have a beard, Cherry, so you'll start to feel it'll be tender, like when you first getting an ingrown hair, you're thinking like, okay, hopefully it'll coil out or you'll be able to flick it out, or when you're washing your face and all that stuff, like you're hoping like it'll correct itself. I'm pretty sure that that's what happened. Like the area that I'm feeling, there was like one little situation. I was like, it wasn't until 2 days ago that I happened to just be feeling around that area because I just bought this new beard care product line. And so I'm spending more time trying to care for the beard. So I'm like feeling in, trying to get from root to tip. And I'm like, hey, what the hell is going on over here? So as I said, because my facial hair is so thick and because it's so coarse, even if I trim down, I might be able to do what you said, which is to pluck around in that area and not trim it all the way off so I can go like 5 o'clock shadow. But I don't know if that's going to be enough, because as big as this bump is, some hair has been growing in there for a really long time. I know what's going on. And so I have to get under the skin, pull that hair out. Then the follicles going to come out, the pus is going to come out, and then it'll need time to heal. And so that's the other thing. More than likely, just because the hair is going to continue to grow and curl, it's probably better for that during the healing process for me to have less hair on my face during that process. So
that makes
That
makes me sad I moved, because I want to be like, come to my house and do it.
Oh, no. You know, that's the kind of stuff like we men, we don't let people see us do that, or I would go to a shop and let them do it. Like, I really wish I could go to a shop right now and be like,
I wish you could just lay down on the bed and let me do it.
only if you knew what you were doing. Like if I knew that you were great at tweezing stuff, because again, yeah. I know with this particular hair, it's under the skin. I know you got to be able to find it. You know what I'm talking about, Courtney? Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Like when they get under the skin, like you got to get the right area. And you might think that you got it, and then you pull it out, and you be like, oh, that's not the one. And then you got to go back in there again. And
or it's,
you
know, more than one. Sometimes it's more than one. Remember, I know how to do this because remember, I'm bald down below.
I'm like, what the?
So Sean is one of the only people that know, like, I shave all my pubic hair off. And the reason why Sean knows this is because, like, last year I looked down and I have fucking gray hair growing. And I don't know how.
I remember that.
Really?
Man, she was like, I was talking about some gray hair. She was like, but no. She was like, and it's not just one gray hair, Sean. No.
It's a lot. And I don't know how long it's been there because I never keep pubic hair.
Remember I told you that they have dye for pubic hair.
Courtney, yes.
You remember that? You remember that chair? They have dye for pubic hair.
Yes. Oh,
really?
You didn't know, Courtney, look it up. I promise you. And it's not like one product line. They have a couple of brands out there. Like if you don't want to be gray down there, if you want it to be a different color, you can go get that genital hair dye.
Yes.
You talked about your hair. My shit, like everybody see my face. Okay, so everybody who's seen my face now, y'all see how gray I am. Yeah, I'm gray downstairs too. So one day I was like, I should dye this shit. And I was gonna go buy one of those brands. And I was going to dye it just to test it out. But then I was like, I can't show anybody the pictures. So what's going to be the fun in that? So I didn't.
Now, see, this is the funny, though. This is the funny because this is the shit that Maxine and Waldo would be doing 20 years later. You know, where I'm like, babe, I went to the bathroom and look, I don't know how long they've been there because I've been bald. And then you leave because Waldo's always very thoughtful. And he would go to the store and buy me genital hair dye.
I guess yeah. Family Matters must be coming to HBO if y'all talking about doing this.
Look, I don't know about that. But speaking of Family Matters, so as you guys may have heard in the trade, I think it was 2 weeks ago, there was it was dropped that Warner Media, which I believe is going to be a new script. I can't talk right now. So let me start that again. Warner Media, which I believe is going to be a subscription-based service, is thinking about rebooting some shows from TGIF, and Family Matters is one of those shows. And so I think today was the third time that someone out in public asked me about the reboot. So there's some people out there that are kind of eager to know whether or not that's happening or not happening. So it may not be HBO, Courtney, where they would talk about this. It may be on Warner Media, where maybe a little more risque. I mean, these people will be in their late 30s, if not early 40s on the show. Can they have lived some real life, Courtney? Can the characters grow? Can it be grown? Can they?
Oh, shit.
I mean, I don't know that I will be invited back, but if I am.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to be invited back. That's what, like this dude, like, okay, I was getting some Jamaican food, right? And so this dude walked in, and he all cocky. He like, hey, man, you going to be on the show? I was like, what are you talking about? He was like, man, come on now. You know they doing that reboot. Come on, so you got to let me know. You going to be on that show? I was like, first of all, it was just reported that they're exploring. I said, a deal has not been signed. He was like, all right, okay. So if they sign a deal and they come to you, you going to be on that show? I was like, yeah, I'll be on the show.
They can't do it without you guys. They can't.
Well, they can.
Courtney. They can't. Thank you.
No, I watch Fuller House on Netflix. They can't. I mean, they had to bring it back.
Courtney. This is what I need you to do. I need you to understand that in the land of TV and in the land of Hollywood, they can do whatever the hell they want. You keep forgetting. We were on a show where a daughter who was a part of the first four seasons of the show disappeared into the attic, never to be heard of, never to be seen again. Believe you me, there are oddities about Family Matters that none of us, a part of the cast, can explain, and we have no participation in any of these things. So it's funny that you are talking about how, in your mind, you believe certain characters have to be a part of whatever this reboot may be. And Kelly had sent me a text message about that very thing, the whole Warner Media thing, when it first came out. So my takeaway immediately was, who's to say that they even gonna want my character to be on the show? So it's a wait and see kind of situation for me, as far as one, whether or not these whispers grow into an actual deal. And then if they then turn into a deal, where are they picking up and who is going to be the center and the focus of that show? Because what I was also trying to say is, this is a show that had a lot of characters. People don't realize how many characters were essential, I guess, to the success, well, the longevity of the show. And so for everyone, whether you're on a studio side or whether you're a fan of the show, I think everyone has a different perspective of who should and who isn't necessary for a successful rebooting of the show. So for you, you believe that Maxine and Waldo, of course, have to be a part of it. Believe you me, I promise you, there's a studio executive who could be thinking, we don't give a damn about those characters. So depending on who's in charge, there's no telling where they go with the direction of this reboot.
Maxine didn't make the family reunion for the, I don't even know what it was.
Oh, that was for EW. Hell, I told you, Sherry, when they called me, I was like, what you calling me for? What? You want me to be a reunion? What? I was confused. I was sitting there on the phone like, I don't understand why they're asking me to be a part of this reunion. Like,
everybody loves Waldo.
To the end of the show. No, I know the fans loved Waldo, but the studio didn't. I'm like, confused. Why? What?
Well, you never know. You know, you just never know.
I don't see how they
exactly. No, you do.
Because you're the best. You're the best friend. You're the brother's best friend. She's the sister's best friend. Then you guys just so happen to be.
I'm just a best friend and a girlfriend. As long as they got Waldo and they got as long as they got Urkel and they got the family on the show.
Yes, exactly. There's a reason why our show was coined by Black people in particular on the streets, the Urkel show.
Yeah, okay? You are Urkel.
So,
it
was never Family Matters. In the 90s, that show was never Family Matters. It was Urkel show. Were you one of the shit? Hey, you on the Urkel show, right?
But let me just speak as a fan. Let me speak as a fan. Now, I was 9 years old when Family Matters first debuted. And gotta remember, I watched you. I'm gonna be honest, I watched you guys until 97. By the time I turned 16, 17, I went home on Friday nights no more. But I remember as I grew up, I distanced myself from the Urkel because that was for the kids. I was more into who Eddie messing with? Oh, damn. My whole thing in life was going to school. How the fuck did Waldo pull, Maxine? That's what we've tried to figure out. And then on the flip side, then they bring the other kid. I mean, the other 3J character. Like, those are the characters as we grew up. Now, the kids, that's why the show was so dope, because there was other kids that was like 9 years old that could still relate to that Urkel character. But as the ones that grew up, we distanced ourselves from, you know, the Urkel character and started. I mean, that's how like Saved by the Bell. That was a more, you know what I'm saying? It wasn't.
A lot of people still don't know what show we did. Courtney, people be like, you was on Moesha. I was like, never got to do that show. You was on Family Ties.
Family Ties is one I get often. No. You are on Family. Yep, I've gotten Family Ties. I've gotten Full House. I'm always mistaken. Well, I won't say always, but there are times when I'm mistaken either for Alfonso or Carl Anthony Payne. So they'll say, "Oh, you were on Fresh Prince," and I'll be like, "No, you were on The Cosby Show." No.
Yeah, I was on Martin, so I feel you all day.
Oh, yeah, you were on Martin. I remember Martin. That chick. Yeah, I remember that chick that everyone
calls thinks girlfriend.
But no, but for real, Courtney, seriously, all jokes aside, just going back to what we kind of are trying to share with you, what the fans believe to be of Family Matters and what attracted them to the show outside, like just say the original draw for some people is Urkel, but then while you're there, you got acquainted with other characters and then you started to, those characters started to resonate with you more. So when you're dealing with people behind the scenes and those are the higher ups that have to make the decisions, I promise you, they do not think the same as people who actually, the viewers of the show. So that's why in jest, we're trying to say to you, like, in all honesty, there could be a discussion that happens with Family Matters, and they could realistically say, we don't necessarily want to explore the lives of these older characters from the original. We just want to stick with what we consider to be the core. And the core for them could be, I believe, Stefan and, say, Laura are now married. Where are they in their life? They are in their life, but we don't necessarily have to spend as much time with their best friend or the brother or the brother's best friend. Like, honestly, these are the types of discussions that could happen. And conceptually, you could have a slightly different show. Because let's just say they have kids, and they might want to have the space to say, we're doing Family Matters sort of as a similar situation where we have a mother, father, and a couple of kids. And so then we know the Family Matters would really, through the years, gravitated more so about the lives of those kids. They could be trying to reboot it in that fashion. So you just never know.
Well,
and so it's always best to proceed with caution folks, when...
As Black folks, we can't let that happen. Because I watched on Netflix, they bring back Fuller House, and they brought back every last character that they could. They tried to bring back the twins, but they refused. But they brought back every single character on from the 90s. Even when they brought back Boy Meets World, they flipped it to Girl Meets World. They brought back every single character, every single one. So
I'm going to tell you for a second time, Courtney, when it comes to the Family Matters property, believe you me, strange things have happened. I can point you in the direction of some of those strange things. In fact, I'll point you to another direction, okay? I said to you about the Jamie situation. Cherry and I, in essence, are very blessed and fortunate because you just know it was God ordained for us to be on the show. If you're a real fan of the show, Courtney, you will know that Eddie's original best friend that was contracted for one season was a white kid.
Yeah, white dude.
That didn't work out. And then Laura's original best friend was this actress that we grew up in the business. Her name was Ebony Smith. So the two of them did a season together, and then they were no longer. And so then my character just happened to be in the right place at the right time where they were able to say, okay, he's going to be the show. Let's see if that will work with Eddie. Cherry comes on the show. Let's see if that'll work with Laura. So trust me, there have been a lot of casualties. If you think about, or if you go back from the beginning of Family Matters to the end of Family Matters, of people who, again, you think, oh, of course, that's Family Matters. But these writer producers and people that have been in charge of the show, they have let it be known from jump. Characters are disposable.
Yes.
In the life of this show. So I know that you think that we're being ridiculous and saying this to you, but believe you me, I promise you, until someone calls me and says, hey, it's a done deal, the deal is signed, and they want you to be involved, all I'm going to do is say, oh, that's interesting. Because there is no, I don't have an expectation. Well, what else can we say?
We can't say nothing. Like, I would just say Sean got a better chance of coming back before Max do. Girls might not stay friends, you know what I'm saying, 25 years from now. You don't know. We don't know.
I just don't know who's making the decisions. That's all I'm trying to say. I don't know who's making the decisions, and that matters. If it's somebody who's in their, I would say, 30s, yes, more than likely they would want me to be on the show. Because what I have found is people who grew up watching the show, who are a little bit younger, they definitely want, they're more interested in what the kids would be doing now. So that includes my character, Cherry's character. If it's someone who may be a little bit older, they're looking at it from the perspective of what was the original core and let me build around that. So who is in the room and who is actually making those decisions really matter to this particular situation in regards to what the framework will be for the concept of the reboot. So I don't take it for granted that I will be a part of it. But let me answer a question that has not been posed to me by you. Would I be involved in the show if people say, if they came to me and said, hey, we want to have Waldo? Yes. The funny thing is, prior to, I won't say it's funny, but I'll say that this is a little known fact that only those of us on the show know. Prior to us doing the reunion thing at EW, we had always sort of amongst ourselves kind of talked about, hey, wouldn't it be fun if we ever got to do a reunion? Hey, wouldn't it be fun if we ever did a spinoff or a reboot and stuff like that? And there were a couple of actors, and I'm not going to name them, who were then they were not interested. And I was always the one like, hey, I think that we still have stuff that we could do with these characters. But by and large, people were kind of like, nah, I'm good. I don't know if I necessarily want to be that. I don't know if I want the public to know me as that character anymore. Hmm. But now that we've gotten to this place where there is real interest, not only from the fan level, but from an executive level, to potentially explore where these characters would be in life. I was soured on the idea of what this would look like because of some stuff that we can't discuss. But I'm keen to know where we would go with this, because the one thing that I know to be true about us, and you know, that was confirmed by doing the reunion and just like, you know, this conversation like we're having. So you see Cherry and I's chemistry, and so we talk like this on the phone all of the time, is that very thing. Our personal relationship and our chemistry with one another, I think, translates exceptionally well from off the screen on the screen. And so that's what gets me excited, is to work with people that I love and adore and respect, because we really did have a good time. It's one of the few jobs that I can say that I had in my career where it didn't feel like a job. Like after Family Matters, my run on Family Matters came to an end, when I would go to other productions, Courtney, I would look around, I'd be like, damn, these motherfuckers like really working hard. What are y'all doing? Family Matters was run like a machine. That's the one good thing that I loved about the Miller Boyette production. Like they had a system, because they had all of these successful shows, Perfect Strangers, Step by Step, Family Matters. I can't think, there's something else that's escaping my mind at the moment. But again, they had these successful shows. So they even told us, listen, this is what we expect of you guys, because we want to be able to be more efficient. So we would have light rehearsal days. Like I told you, like you do a 5-day schedule when you do a sitcom, right? So day one is table read. And then after table read, you go do light blocking on the stage. And the reason why on our show is light blocking is because after the writer producers have listened to us do the table read, there's going to be, for the most part, an extensive rewrite, because as I said, they're listening to find out what's working and what's not working. So our light rehearsal was kind of like, okay, we don't know where they're going to put their hands in this and sort of mix things up. So let's not get locked into something. So we would have a light very first day. So later on in the schedule, Courtney, because again, the whole Miller Boyette thing, they had told us at a certain point, listen, there's no reason for you guys to be on a 5-day schedule. All of our shows, after they get to a certain season count, they move to a 4-day schedule. So that's what we did. We moved to a 4-day schedule. Okay, so we're packing 5 days into 4 days. Even when we did that, our table read and stage rehearsal day, it was the lightest. When you go on other shows, or when I went on other shows, like that first day, they doing a table read. These fools going to set, and like they rehearsing the scene over and over. Family Matters, we would do a light block that first day, which was like maybe three. One time for the director to say, stand here, move here, do this. The first time we would then execute it so he could see that we got it, or she could see that we got it. Then we would do it a second time after that, just to prove again that we got it. And then they'd be like, move on to the next scene. You go to other productions, like they for real trying to work that scene, trying to make sure the blocking's right, trying to make sure the people got into character properly. Like on our show, we started doing stuff where we wouldn't even read the lines in character. We just read the lines like, okay, uh-huh. Like, you know, my kid to say stuff. So
bad at rehearsing now still because of that. Where they're like, I had a, honest to God, I was gone last month and I did a movie, right? Not to totally change the subject, but the director was like, do you know your lines? I was like, oh yeah, I know them. You want me to do them like now? So I ran through, he was like, oh yeah, you do know them. Cause I had this 3-page speech, but I was just kind of, you know, hitting my mark so the camera could find me.
Right.
And he was like, so, oh, I get it. You do know your lines. So yeah, back to Family Matters training.
Yeah, it is. It is. And it makes you, I think, so I'm appreciative of that, but at the same time, it kind of makes you, I hate to say it, kind of lazy, because you're like, it doesn't take this much, people. Like, we really can be efficient, but we don't have to give it our all every single time. Like, we know when it's time to punch it up and deliver that home run. But right now, ain't it. But again, on other productions, it's not like that. Like, they're constantly trying to get you to, no, let's do it one more time. You know, because I need you to do this. Like, they've got to see it in those early rehearsal stages, because they don't think that you have it unless you deliver in the rehearsal on the stage. Whereas with Family Matters, again, we could half-ass it, but they would know. We had three times where we had to be on. So the first time was the table read. The second time was our producer run through, which was when it was a 5-day schedule, it was day three. When it was a 4-day schedule, it was day two. And then we would have our studio run through, as I said, which was before our tape day. Those are the three times that you just had to be on so that they would know for sure that you got it. And then when the audience would come later on, I promise you, we didn't miss a beat because that energy from the crowd and the chemistry with all of us working together, like those red lights went on and magic would happen. So going back to my original point, yeah, I wasn't necessarily as enthusiastic, but as I think about that, and I'm so thankful that, you know, I was a part of the reunion, just to kind of remind me, make me look back at some of the wonderful things that came out of Family Matters. I look forward to the possibility of working with all of my former co-stars, because I think that we can, we have great chemistry, we have great timing with one another, and there's so much more that I think that we could do as a unit.
A natural detox can improve everybody's overall health. If you are suffering from obesity, high blood pressure, lupus, diabetes, fibromyalgia, diverticulitis, or if you need to improve your heart health, a natural detoxification can help you. Are you interested in some anti-aging or some Alzheimer's prevention? Hit us up at www.teamcherryj.com.
This is just awesome for me as a fan, as somebody who grew up with you guys, man. I've been thanking Cherry ever since I met her.
Oh, so sweet.
Yeah, awesome, man. Thank you.
Sweet. And I thank Courtney, because Courtney's like, nah, it's Cherry's World. I'm like, Courtney, we wouldn't have Cherry's World if there was no Courtney. You would Google the show, man. Cherry's is mine. Don't even go like that. I could just call up a conversation.
Hey, it was cool. Ad lib, or was that like written?
No. Okay. Sean never ad libbed anything for Waldo. Waldo is the creation of those writers in the room. And going back to the point that I actually tried to make about a damn hour ago, but got sidetracked, Waldo was a white character. So let me tell Cherry, audience, since she doesn't know, some of y'all know because some of y'all watched the reunion video, but this chick right here, she don't care. She don't give a damn. Okay, so Waldo was originally scripted as a white character. The reason why that I know that is because if you remember, my introduction to the show was Willy and Waldo. So it was a bully character for the Urkel character. If you guys are aware, that character was portrayed by the actor named Lorenz Tate. Taking a step back, I got the audition for Willy. So when I went to the original audition, went to the casting call. That's what I went in the room and I auditioned for. I believe I was probably like two or three people after Lorenz. So after I finished with my whatever, my audition, that is, I left the room and I'm walking down the hall and they had said, you know, thank you for coming in after I finished reading. And so there's a certain kind of tone that's used when a cast director or a producer says, thank you for coming in, where you kind of know there might be hope. Yeah. At the end of the tunnel, and then there's kind of like, you know, this is the end of the road for you. And I sensed that when they were like, thank you for coming in. I was like, okay, I didn't book this, right? So I walked out. And so I'm walking down the hallway. So the casting director at that time, his name was Paul Ventura. And so I hear him call out to me, Sean. So I stop, I turn around, and he says, hey, he was like, can you read something else for us? And so that was confirmation to me when he asked me to read something. I was like, yeah, I definitely didn't book this. So I was like, okay. So I go back in there and he was like, okay. So he hands me the size and it's for Waldo. So when I had first walked in there, I'd seen that there were white kids and there were black kids there. So black kids were getting the Willy size and the white kids were getting the Waldo size. So I look around the room of the actors that were still left and I'm like, these white kids. I'm like, why the hell are they asking me to read this crap, right? So I go in the hallway and I start working on the material and I'm reading through it. I'm like, I don't even understand this. I was like, this is dumb. I was like, how am I supposed to be some chunky, dumb white kid who's the sidekick of a bully? I was like, this doesn't make any sense to me. So I gave it the best that I could, like 5-6 minutes in the hallway trying to figure something out. And then finally, I just tossed my hands up in the air and I was like, you know what? I ain't got time for this. I got to go. I don't feel like being here anymore. I'm not about to book this. This is a waste of my damn time. So let me just go in this room, do this audition, and then be out. So I went into the room and I did my audition and pretty much nothing that I rehearsed in the hallway is what I did in the room, because I was just trying to get the audition over with. Yeah. And after I delivered the first line, they started laughing. And I'm thinking they're laughing kind of at me, but not the with me. Like, it wasn't intentional. Like, I was not like, okay, I'm about to, you know, kill them with this line reading. No, I'm like, what are they laughing at? I was like, it's not funny. So anyway, I finished reading. Besides, they're giggling. If I'm not mistaken, there were two scenes. So we do the second scene, and I'm thinking, why are they still having me in here? I'm like, ready to go. So I finished the second scene, and I then say, you know, thank you guys for calling me in. And then I go home, and I'm thinking, damn. I wish I would have booked that other part. This is, you know, disappointing. Long story, well, I can't say long story short now because I've taken too damn long to tell the story. But anyway, get a call from my agent telling me that I booked, right? And so my mom's like, okay, you booked the part. And then I was like, wait, hold on. I was like, I booked what part, though? And so then the agent was like, you booked Waldo. And I was like, what? Waldo? I was like, nah, I was like, that's nuts. So anyway, that's how the Waldo situation came to be for me. It was not scripted for a Black kid. It was scripted for a white kid. I always say a chunky white kid because that's what I remember seeing in the room, but it could have just been any average white kid. So anyway, we get on the show. We do our thing. They like our characters. They bring us back. They bring us back one time. So the first time was, as you know, the boxing one. The second time was the Urkel dance and the spiking of the punch situation. And then I remained on the show and Lorenz did not. Mm. And just to get back to your original question, the reason why I'm giving you all of that backstory is I, even from the audition to the end of, I'll say, my time on the show, even though I understood what I needed to do for the Waldo character, I don't think that I was clued in to how to figure out a way to build comedy for that particular character. So honestly, all of that stuff came from the minds of the writers that were in that room. And they would put stuff in the script and I would do my table read and certain things would work and a couple of things didn't. I say a lot of things worked, to be honest with you, and a couple of things didn't. And my three memorable phrases just went over well. And I still don't know to this day why No Prop Bob, Pool, and Sup just became a thing. But they were callbacks in the script for me, and people, like, I, when I go somewhere, people will say, Sup. To me, if they, you know, if they're trying to, you know, be like, oh, you know, I know who you are. And I'm thinking like, yeah, I don't find that funny. But no. So to answer your question, cool was not, it did not come from me. I didn't add it on as an ad lib just because it was in the script. I delivered the line. People thought it was funny. So they wrote it in a second time and a third time and more times and more times. And so that's how it kept popping up.
That's awesome.
Thank you for that, man. I love hearing stuff like that.
You just schooled me, too. I had no idea you were supposed to be a white boy.
Yeah, Waldo was a white kid. And on the page, he was a white boy until Sean walked in the door and said, what you gonna do, Willie? And that I said that in the reunion video. I know that's why I got the part, because the line was scripted as, what are you going to do, Willie? But I told you, I was just trying to get home. But I was like, let me just get in the door, get out of here. I was like, what you gonna do, Willie? They fell out laughing. I was like, that ain't that damn funny. I was like, I don't know why they laugh. I was thinking about why they laughing at me like this. Like, I was offended. I was low-key offended. Like, okay. Screw them. They not hiring me for that other part that I really want.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, I say that. That's what my belief is. But I can only confirm that from two people, and I never asked the question. But I'm pretty certain that what you gonna do, Willie, my line reading of that is what booked Waldo for me.
That's hilarious.
Yes, it is. I need to hear that, man. Damn.
Hilarious. Thank you so much, Sean. I love you. And I know you're going to cuss me out because we didn't have you on this motherfucker forever.
Yeah, I am going to cuss you out. But it's not really, it's more so about because I had to travel in order to get somewhere and I have not had an opportunity to eat. So my friend was late for lunch. And so I literally had 15 minutes. I was like, yo, dumbass, coming up. Ooh. So I ate the salad, and then I got two chunks of jerk chicken in my mouth, and I was like, I gotta go do this damn podcast.
I'm sorry, man. But this is Cherry's World. You could have ate during the show. I done peed three times.
Yeah, I've been holding
mine. Good for you. Good for you. But no, when I'm eating, I want to sit down. I want to smack. I want to be like, I want to do all kinds. I can't do that. Like, not in this particular situation. Now, if we were on camera so that people could see why I was making those noises and they wouldn't think like I'm a pervert and I got some kind of fetish for like your voice or something like that, then that's different.
I got
like, why this fool smacking? Like, he's sucking on toes or something? Like, what the?
I feel you.
All right, well, I'm officially getting off of the phone so that I can go eat my jerk chicken. Y'all didn't cut into my time. Now there's too much street traffic, so I can't go get my cake. I can't go get my cake, so I'm pissed about that. You know how I eat my cake.
I owe you cake.
It's troubling to my soul. But you know what? This dad bod that is really needing to be melted away, it's probably best that I don't go get that cake. So I will say that, but at the same time, I really wanted it. I mean, I'm near my favorite bakery, and so when I'm near my bakery, I got to go get my goods.
Oh, damn, yeah, you should. I'm sorry.
I heard dad buys a six packs. That's what they said on a news article.
You know what? And I think that that's a beautiful thing. But as for Sean, nah, I don't think that I was created to have a dad bod at 45. I said in my post recently, at 50, I think I can allow myself to have a dad bod and be okay with it. But mentally right now, I just can't see myself walking around with a dad bod and being like, you know what? You're hot. No, I can't do it.
He said, you know what? You're hot. That's funny as hell. Yeah, I feel you. I don't want a mom bod. I don't want to look like somebody's mother.
Yeah. Yeah, like, you know, our 40s doesn't look like our parents' 40s. You know, we still, I think, look a little more youthful. So I think that the physique kind of needs to match that. So that's what I'm trying to do.
Yes, I agree. I understand.
Yeah. So anyway, as I said, I'm jumping off the phone so that I can go eat.
Run, Sean. Go eat.
Okay. I'm out of here. So I will talk to you guys soon.
Pleasure meeting you, bro.
Love you. Thank you so much.
All right. Love you too. Nice to meet you, Courtney. Talk to you soon.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Bye.
Welcome to Cherry's World.
Hey, if you're listening to Cherry's World Podcast on Apple Podcasts and iTunes, please give us a 5-star. Let us know what you think. Leave us a review. I want to hear from you. Thank you. Head over to Grits Tees. That's GRITEEZ.com. They've got something for everybody. Athletics, humor, spiritual, and the woke communities. Come express yourself through apparel that communicates passion and perseverance. Use the checkout code CHERRY and you'll get 10% off of everything right now.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise. Having fun in the sun or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.